time is an equal opportunity employer. Each human being has exactly the same hours and minutes every day. Rich people can't buy more hours, scientists can't invent new minutes, and you can't save time to spend it on another day. Even so, time is amazingly fair and forgiving. No matter how much time you've wasted in the past, you still have an entire tomorrow. And this week's opening quote comes from Dennis Waitley. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. Well, time is certainly interesting stuff, ladies and gentlemen, and time most certainly affects us all. It has certainly affected me in the past few weeks. And as a follow-up to last week's show, I've got to say that the 2 weeks preceding that show were perhaps the most trying and emotionally brutal 2 weeks of my life. The stuff that I went through, the emotional baggage that came to the surface, stuff from my childhood, stuff from all over the place, every little insecurity I had ever had in my life, every doubt I had ever had about myself, every wrong or unkind word I had ever spoken to other people, it was like all of it leapfrogged over itself and landed in my face. And I've never been one to really place much credence on astrology and the movements of the stars. I always thought that it was for yuppies and not something that I was really into. But I am a Scorpio, and I have since found out that there were certain planetary alignments that were happening in those 2 weeks which were particularly poignant for people who were Scorpio or were Taurus. And I actually have quite a number of Scorpio friends, and I have been informed by all of my friends that each one of them also had the most brutal 2 weeks of their life in the 2 weeks preceding the previous broadcast. So I think I'm going to be paying a little bit more attention to astrology from now on, ladies and gentlemen, because it really was brutal. Like I said, it's like any doubt, any insecurity, anything that may have gone wrong in the past leapfrogged over itself and landed in my face, and it was absolutely brutal. And also in the middle of this event, just as a matter of coincidence, when I didn't know any of this was happening, but on the actual night of the Scorpio full moon, with Saturn in Scorpio as well, I was with a group of people actually doing ceremony that night, and it was the most brutal experience of my life. And that was actually the day that the last show went to air. Very interesting 2 weeks, folks, and very informative for me, but also very, very clearing, because I feel absolutely clear now. I almost feel lighter. I feel like I weigh less than what I did last week. So all in all, it's actually been quite an amazing and a very healing experience. And I think that may have been the case for many other Scorpios around the planet. I'm sure that we're all going to go through a period like this at some stage, but my God, that was a real experience for me. So I just thought I'd share all of that with you anyway, just in case you are a Scorpio out there and you have just been through what I've been through, or perhaps you're a Taurus and have just been through something similar. I do have a few Taurus friends, and they all had a particularly hard time of it over that 2 week period as well. Very interesting, folks. Like I said, I've never really placed much credence on astrology, and to find out after the event that all of these particular planetary lineups were happening and to receive confirmation from every Scorpio and Taurus I know has been somewhat mind-opening for me. So yes, as I said, folks, I just thought I would share that with you. But now on to other things. And there certainly are a lot of things to get on with when you look at the state of the world today. I mean, really, you can take your pick, can't you, when I come onto these shows? There's so many topics I could talk about, and there's so many world events I could talk about, that it can become difficult to find a topic. The reason I don't cover a lot of world events, though, folks, I mean, I do touch on current events occasionally, but I don't really see my role as being as a news reporter, because there are plenty of other people out there that are bringing you all of the information of stuff that's going on around the world. And I'm not in most of these places anyway, so all I've got to go on is the same information that you have to go on. And so really all I would be able to offer you on many news events would be my opinion anyway. And it's important to remember that with other people, folks. So that's what you get when you listen to people, is you get people's opinions. Because people can only ever present you with their perspective. And it is always an opinion based upon what information they've had available to them and how they have processed that information. And I think it's very, very important that people remember that when listening to any researchers or any alternate media folks. And that includes me. It includes everybody, because obviously all I can offer you is my opinion on an event or my perspective of an event. And as I said, there certainly are a lot of events happening in the world today with which to offer an opinion or a perspective on. It's been nice to see the people that have been rallying here in Australia to take action against the government. That's been a really good thing to see. We saw a march against the government in every major city in Australia recently. We also saw a march against Monsanto. There's also been a Facebook page started with a view to expressing a loss of confidence in the Abbott regime and dismissing the Abbott government, which is a good thing as well. I mean, I don't know whether it'll work, but it's good to put a bee in their bonnet with every possible mechanism that you can. So I suggest we do many of these things. Let's just make as much noise as we can about how corrupt the Abbott regime is, and let's get this sociopathic little cretin out of power and into some psych ward where he belongs, or perhaps into a jail where he belongs. Something like that would be good. But wherever he belongs, it is certainly not in the big chair in Parliament. He shouldn't even be allowed into the building. So it's good to see all of these little events being organised and these things being started to poke and prod at this corrupt criminal government, and anything that can be used to put a bee in their bonnet and to cause them discomfort is, of course, a very good thing. So keep it up, folks. Let's go and join these groups and let's write letters to these people and let's make as much noise as possible. Not only because it feels good to do so, but also because it does make a difference, because it does bring public attention to the corruption of the government in this country, and that is a good thing. That's just not only the corruption in this country, but of course in every country that the Crown Corporation controls. And of course those countries that it doesn't control, it is working very hard to control via the mechanism of the War on Terror. It's the Crown Corporation that's doing all of this stuff, folks. Even when you look at what's going on in Ukraine and you look at the whole East meets West standoff that is happening there, you've got to understand this is being orchestrated by the Crown Corporation. It's not being orchestrated by Obama. Obama's a puppet. The American government has been controlled by England and the Crown Corporation right since its inception, folks. So it's one thing to point the finger at Obama and call him a sociopath, because he is, but you can't really blame him for what he's doing, because he's a puppet of the Crown Corporation. So when you're looking at the global situation, it's very, very important that people take that into account, ladies and gentlemen. There's a royal bloodline that exists throughout Europe and England. It is a very, very ancient bloodline that actually comes from ancient Egypt, and it has been running the show for a very, very long time, and nothing has changed. It still runs the show. So when deciding to point the finger at anybody, it is very useful to be looking at things from the correct perspective, ladies and gentlemen. And never forget that the United States is a puppet government, it's a puppet regime, it is simply the military arm of the Crown Corporation and the Vatican system. The Crown Corporation also controls Israel, folks. Israel is basically a private estate and weapons experimentation center and global instability center that is run by the Rothschild family. The Rothschilds are, of course, Khazarian Jews, and that's just the way it is, folks. As I've often said, in order to really grasp the situation, people need to put down their nationalism and stop looking at things from a nationalistic perspective. Certainly, we have a lot of trouble with the government here in Australia. You have a lot of trouble with the government in the United States. It's the same in England and Canada and many other countries. But the problem isn't actually your local government, although it's an issue. The problem is who controls the local government in your country, and that is, of course, the Crown Corporation. So it's important that people look at the world from a global perspective and put things on a global stage when they look at information and when they look at situations in these countries. When they look at the situation in Ukraine, the situation in Zimbabwe, the situation in Africa, what's going on in Gaza and Palestine. All of these things need to be put on the stage and looked at from a global perspective to see where they fit in the chessboard puzzle of things, because each one is simply a piece, and each one is leading towards a higher agenda, that higher agenda being global enslavement and transhumanism. And the more they bring it on, folks, the more people are waking up to it. So all I can say to them is bring it on, because now we see you. We know what you're doing. The world is finally waking up. These marches and things that we're seeing around the planet are an indication of that. And don't get me wrong, I don't think marches are the right way to do things. But what these marches are doing is they are showing us that there is a growing number of people in a growing number of countries that are waking up to the fact that they're being scammed and they want to do something different now. And not only do they want to, but they're going to. The tide is about to turn, folks, and all of us are participating in this turning. And it's great to see this happening around the planet. It's been a learning curve for everybody as well, folks. It really has. I mean, we've seen all sorts of movements that have sprouted up in the last 5 or 10 years. And all of this is a result of people getting a certain amount of information, thinking they've got the whole thing, and starting to try to implement change. Not everybody has got it right, but at least they've been trying. And as I said, it's been a learning curve for everybody. And there's been new pieces of the puzzle that have been added to the fray all the time, new remedies that are being added to the fray all the time. The recent publication of the Babylon Has Fallen document by Kate of Gaia has been interesting, in which we have been offered a mechanism by which to navigate ourselves through the legal system, which is a very important thing, and it's a very important knowledge for people to have. Of course, it's not going to save the world quite yet. Because, for example, if you're someone in Ukraine, you can claim you don't have a name all you like and the government will still shoot you, and it would be the same in Egypt or Israel or Palestine or possibly Croatia and very many other countries around the planet. So as much as it may work to a certain degree in Western countries, we still have a long way to go, although it is good knowledge to have because it helps people understand the fictional nature of the system. As I've been saying to you on air for many years, the power of your flesh is a wonderful thing. And people may wonder what I've meant by that, but what I've meant is the power of you expressing yourself as a living, breathing, sentient life form is a powerful thing. This is the way I've always dealt with police myself. It's the way I've got myself out of many situations, by not claiming I am my name, because I'm not. The name is simply an entity that was created via an agreement that was entered into between my parents and the government, and for me to claim that name as my own is actually to commit fraud, and I've spoken to you about this on air many times previously as well. But what has been offered in the Babylon Has Fallen document is simply place it in very concise terms in a manner in which anybody is able to understand, and that is a very good thing. So I would suggest looking at that and letting it sink in, so that you begin to grasp the concept of what you are and how the slavery system, the fictional paper-based meme, the paper-based reality that's been superimposed over reality actually has its grip on you and how it achieves its jurisdiction over you. As I said, folks, this is something that I've been talking about, the meme, the paper-based meme. I've been talking about this since 2009 or 2010 on air here, but it is very good to see this document. So have a look at that one. And again, folks, this is yet another piece of the puzzle. It's another thing that you can use to help navigate yourself through this system. And understanding the concept that you are alive and that you are not your name is a very, very empowering thing. Of course, don't think you can simply stop using your name and step outside of the system yet, folks, because you've still got to eat. Many of you still have to pay rent. We still have to use this paper that we pass around to each other and perform commerce in order to survive in the real world. That's just a fact of life at the moment. But at least we are gaining more pieces of the puzzle in a concise manner, so we are therefore able to spread the information out to more and more people. And so the process continues. And really, for me, folks, I think that the best way to get through this at the moment is to keep one foot in the fiction and one foot in reality, because you don't want to deprive yourself of what the fiction can offer you, what this society can offer you. There's certain things that we have to do. Like I said, we have to buy food, we have to pay rent, we have to do all sorts of stuff like this. But you can step with one foot in the fiction and one foot out of the fiction and use the fiction as a means of waking people up to the fiction. And it's all very well for people to say, oh, no, you don't have to buy food. You could grow your own. Well, that's all very well. But if you're living in an apartment in inner Sydney or if you're living in an apartment in New York, then no, you can't grow your own unless you have an incredible building of people who will get along with each other and want to plant one window box each. It's just not conceivable to do this. So let's not be sociopathic about it. Let's understand that there are people who are in situations where they cannot grow their own food and they are forced to buy food. So we shouldn't simply discard these people because they don't own their own food forest. I mean, we've got to be realistic about this, folks. So in order for society to actually move through this with any sense of coherency and with any sense of purpose or in a way that is going to cause the least friction to them personally, it's best to keep one foot in the fiction and one foot in reality. And also with the legal system, folks, you can step above the legal system yourself, but you can keep one foot in the fiction so that you can use the legal system against the criminals in office who've constructed the legal system. Because the legal system in each country is a double-edged sword, and it applies to the corporations within the fiction just as much as they believe it applies to you. And actually it applies to them more because it doesn't actually apply to you because you are living flesh. And now that you realize that, if you keep one foot in the fiction, then you can use the system against itself. And not only that, but you can show the people around you that the system is actually fiction because you're challenging it in a manner that they understand. And that's what's going to wake them up. See, that's the thing, folks. There's no good trying to step away from it completely. There's no good trying to build an alternate community. You need to fix the community that we have now by waking people up to what's going on, by using the fiction against itself. That's what we can do, and that's really the only way out. There's no good reinventing the wheel, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, sure, you could build an alternate community that serves as a working model of what we could be, but don't disassociate yourself from this community, because if you do, you're just failing to address the fundamental problem. We have a society and community here right now. It's just that it's incredibly dysfunctional because people are kept locked within a slavery system and they're forced to run on a treadmill and they're not given real information that they need. But we can change that and we can use the legal system that exists right now to bring these governments to their knees by simply approaching things from the right manner. But if you're someone who is choosing to step right outside of the system now and turn your back on it, then what you are doing is allowing the world to be destroyed around you by failing to participate in dismantling the mechanism that is being used to destroy this planet. And the most dangerous thing anybody can do is to simply turn their back on it and to ignore this system. People who do so are very, very much part of the problem. So don't be part of the problem, folks. Be part of the solution. And the solution really is for you to rediscover yourself. This is what I've been saying to you ever since the beginning of this show. When I started back in 2008, it's all about self-discovery, folks. That's what this experience is for. And this is a very, very significant time in history, folks, because this is the moment that we actually did wake up to who and what we are. It's the moment in history when we actually had an opportunity for freedom, something that we've never had before, something we've never experienced before, something we don't even really know what it looks like or what it feels like. But it's a concept that has been growing in our mind for a very long time. And that's what we're seeing, folks. We're seeing a true evolution in human consciousness is what we are seeing. We are seeing the human species wake up to self-realization. And this is a very, very great thing to see. And we've seen so much of it lately, folks. We've seen so many people realize that something is terribly wrong. We've seen so many people offer their version of what may be right and offer possible paths to remedy, offer possible ways out. This is what I believe the Zeitgeist movement did. This is what I believe the Venus Project even. What Sasha Stone is attempting to do with the New Earth Project. This is what the OPPT attempted to do as well. All of these people who saw that there was a problem and offered something that they thought may have been a solution. And of course, all of these ideas were attacked and belittled and pointed out as being a New World Order plot by all these morons out there who don't understand that everybody has an idea and that not everybody is awake at the same level of consciousness, and that people realize there's something wrong, and so they offer what perspective they have and offer what path to remedy they think may work. To label all of these people as government plants and New World Order plots is pure lunacy, apart from being somewhat sociopathic and delusional, of course. And it's also very disrespectful because people are at different stages of learning and they are at different stages of awareness. What would happen, though, if we were to all put everything on the table, everybody, and converse about it and find a way out and find what works in each system? I mean, even things like the Venus Project, I completely disagree with the Venus Project. I don't think it is the way to go at all, but there are probably certain aspects of it that are worth looking at. And of course, when you look at Jacques Fresco, I mean, Jacques Fresco is like 120 not out. He was brought up in a completely different world to the world that we were brought up in. And so, of course, he has a completely different perspective on things and a completely different idea of how we may navigate out of this world. But I think that what he tried to present, what he attempted to present, was what he believed to be a genuine attempt at a solution. And it's the same with Peter Joseph and the Zeitgeist Project. I think Peter Joseph saw there is a real problem, and he presented what he thought may be a viable solution. It's the same with the OPPT. These people brought to the world what they thought may be a viable solution. Now, I'm not saying any of these people were right, and I'm not saying any of these people were wrong, but what they presented was what they thought was a piece of the puzzle that was relevant enough to bring to public attention. And I believe that what needs to happen is for everybody to put their egos aside and to open up all of these ideas for meaningful and constructive dialogue. Open up everything for meaningful and constructive dialogue, because everybody has a piece of the puzzle, and eventually if we all put our heads together, we're going to find a way out of this mess. And we're going to find a way that works for everybody. Not my way is the highway, but a way that works for everybody, because everybody has a piece of the puzzle and everybody deserves respect. And people need to respect others and respect themselves enough to understand that everybody is at different stages of awareness. So you can't shoot everybody down. What you've got to do is converse and talk about this and put it all on the table together and see what works. And we have so many people in the alternative research community that just attack all of these ideas and say that all these people are government plants, when of course it's not possible. And to think so, as I said, is completely delusional. And rather than opening dialogue with these people, just choose to attack them and label them as New World Order. And of course, by doing so, perpetuate the problem, perpetuate the division, and ensure that no dialogue is ever entered into and that no viable solutions are ever found. And that's one of the biggest problems that we're seeing with the so-called alternative research community, folks, is that very often it's just a very big clash of egos and people pointing the finger at everybody else and everybody else trying to claim everybody else's intellectual property. When really there's no such thing as intellectual property, folks. Everybody is waking up to the fictional system that we live in at their own pace, and they're all waking up to the same realizations. And think about it, folks. If you're researching something and what you have discovered is actually true, then it stands to reason that anybody else who is researching the same information is eventually going to get to the same point that you have got to and come to the same conclusions that you have had. Therefore, when it comes to awareness, there's no such thing as intellectual property, because all awareness is part of the collective. And of course, now there's going to be people out there that accuse me and say, oh look, Max is supporting the Zeitgeist movement. Max is supporting the Venus Project. Max is supporting the OPPT. And they're going to start spreading out rumors that I'm supporting all of these projects, when nothing could be further from the truth. And if you really do think that by listening to what I just said, then please grow a brain and go back and listen to what I just said again. And just get a life or something. You know, the reality, folks, is that anything that causes people to question this system and anything that causes these people to re-examine themselves and re-examine this society is a good thing. Anything that causes that little shell of disinformation and misinformation, the television reality that people are fed, anything that brings about a crack in that shell is a good thing. And as I said, people are at different stages of awareness. They know there's something wrong and they know something has to be done. They know that anything can be changed with the power of people, and so they attempt to rally the people, to at least wake them up and put things on the table for dialogue. And the problem is that we're not having any dialogue. We're having a whole bunch of people who've got what information they've had access to and what conclusions they've come to based on that information. And very often they've discarded any information which may disprove their opinion or their perspective or whatever it is that they've found. Very often people only look for things that reinforce their view of reality. They don't look at the whole picture. And so people attack any idea that is different to theirs. And that is the big problem. That's the big issue. And I really believe we need to step back from this whole situation and see what's going on here. Because, I mean, I say to the government, bring it on. I don't care about what they're doing, folks. They can do whatever they want. This sociopathic little cretin that we've got as a prime minister in this country, Tony Maggott, Tony Abbott, whatever his name is, he can do whatever he wants. He's a criminal, he's a scumbag, and I don't give a damn what he does. Because everything he does wakes the people of this country up to the fact that this guy's a criminal, and that we've got a bunch of criminal scumbags running a slavery system on this planet. So I say bring it on with everything that they do. And the problem is that people that are seeing all of this around me are just busy arguing with each other. All the people in the alternative research movement are busy arguing with each other instead of paying attention to this slavery system and turning to address it and attempting to wake people up that this slavery system exists. And anything that wakes people up to this slavery system is wonderful, folks. Anything that wakes people up to this slavery system is a good thing. And I say bring it on. Do everything you can to put it in the face of the people around you and to put it in the face of this scumbag criminal government. Because the more they do to bring it on, the more we're going to bring them down. That's the way it is. You're going down, Mr. Abbott. That's the way it is. You're going down and you're going to jail because you're a criminal scumbag and the people of this country have had it with you. And it's the same with Obama. It's the same with the Queen. It's the same with the royal family. Putin, the Rothschilds, Netanyahu, all the banksters. Doesn't matter. They're all as bad as each other, regardless of who you name. Doesn't matter what the country is. All of these people will end up ousted. They'll all end up out of power because the world is waking up to the fact that we are actually worth more than this. We are actually alive. We are living flesh, and we don't have to do what these criminal scumbags say. It doesn't matter what they write on pieces of paper, because the paper doesn't apply to us. We are living flesh. We are alive. The paper applies to them more than it applies to us, because they are the ones who constructed the paper-based reality. They're the ones who constructed the paper system, and that's the way we have to look at it, folks. And that's what all this is. That's what people are waking up to, and so it's a good thing. Remedy. Everybody is looking for remedy. This is what we've been doing for so many years, isn't it, folks? Looking for the silver bullet, looking for the way to navigate through the system. And really, the only silver bullet we're ever going to find is the people, folks. It's got to be a mass awakening. That's what's going to change the world. When people rediscover who and what they are and open their eyes a little bit and begin to look around them, that's when things are going to change. And that's what we're seeing. I mean, we really are. All of these protests and all of these marches and everything we're seeing in so many countries around the world now, people know that there's something wrong. They just don't know quite what to do about it, but they know that there is something wrong. They know they want change. And many people that I'm speaking to are informing me that they're also seeing this within the ranks of the police force. Many police officers also know that something is terribly wrong, and although many of them are under a lot of peer group pressure to perform in certain ways, many of them are realizing that things have to change, and many of them are actually respecting what the people want and siding with the people. Of course, there are others who don't. There is always the sociopathic thug and domestic terrorist element that the government loves so much and that the government has ensured is now part of our police psyche. But even that, I don't think, is going to really be able to hold the people back for too much longer, folks. I think the people are going to rise up and they're going to make some change. The thing is, we've got to rise up and make some change, but we've got to do it in a peaceful manner. I really don't see any need for violent revolution at all. Sometimes violence is necessary. Sometimes violence is necessary in order to defend yourself. And sometimes it is necessary to make a stand against evil and make a stand against corruption. And of course, when the system is being violent to you, then of course you have every right to defend yourself. But having said that, there really is no call for violent revolution. I really don't think that we need violence to deal with the situation, folks. I think that Once enough people wake up to what's actually going on, we'll have the sheer weight of numbers to be able to bring about any change we want anyway. And I think that the police will see this as well. I don't think the police will defend these corrupt criminals. I really don't. I think once enough of the population gets on board and starts making noise about what's actually going on in this world, the police will have no choice but to side with the people, because the police are people too. Even though there is, as I said, that certain sociopathic programmed element that the government loves so much. There are certain members of the police force who simply know of no other reality other than to bow and kowtow to authority, and that's what they do. And there are many people that will continue to do that, but I don't think it's going to work in the end, folks. I think that the people are going to change things, and I think that's what we are seeing now. And I also believe that every single thing this government does all around the world, any government around the world, anything they do to usher in this global agenda more and make things a little bit more repressive for the people, only serves to wake more and more people up. And what is required from those people who already are awake is to help guide these people when they do wake up and provide some sort of a safety net for them so they don't go into fear and so they realize the truly wonderful opportunity that this awakening is giving us, the truly wonderful opportunity that's been provided to us by the corruption of this system becoming so apparent and revealing itself so completely to the eyes of the masses. The only problem with it is that once people do see reality for what it is and they do see the system for what it is, many of them just don't know what to do about it. And that's why it's good to have support groups and community groups, even online chat groups and online groups you can form, just so you've got people of like mind close by, close at hand, even if it's in the virtual world, so that you've got people to talk to and you've got people to share the information with. As I mentioned earlier, there's the recent Babylon Has Fallen document that Kate of Gaia has released, which will provide you the information that you need and provide these other people with the information they need in order to navigate through the legal system should they get into difficulty with it. And that's a good thing to do, and it's empowering information to have. And it's also good information to have if you're attempting to start some group or start some sort of a movement or start some sort of an organization or create some sort of a groundswell that's going to make a difference. It's good to be armed with the knowledge that you don't actually have to do what the government says, because the government actually has no jurisdiction over you. The only jurisdiction the government has is over the name. And once people realize that they are not their name, then things become much simpler. Of course, this isn't just an excuse for people to go out and do whatever they want and get away with whatever they want and feel that the law can't touch them no matter what they do. Because we still need to respect each other and we still need to act within the parameters of natural law. So it isn't exactly a get-out-of-jail-free card which gives people the ability to go out and make trouble or go out and make a nuisance for other people. It's simply a way of helping people understand who and what they are and helping people feel empowered in the knowledge of their freedom, because people can be free if they want to be. People already are free. See, this whole sovereignty thing as well, I've been telling you this for years as well, folks. There's no reason for you to have to go and claim your sovereignty, because you are already sovereign. If someone is claiming that you're not sovereign, get them to provide you with proof of claim. And if what they are referring to is actually the name, well, then that's not you anyway. So the whole thing is in a different world, isn't it? And that's one of the things that's probably most difficult for people to understand, and it's something that I've been talking to you about for years, the fact that there are actually two worlds. We live in two worlds, folks. There is the real world that is alive, and there is the fictional corporate world, which is dead, and we occupy both of them. But the thing is that one of them is real, and one of them is a slavery system which only exists in our minds. The only reality that that system actually has is the fact that it exists on paper, and the paper is real. You can go and get the books and open them up and read them. They are real. But that's it. It's not a real world. It's a fictional world, and it's a slavery system that's been superimposed over reality. And ultimately, it's just an idea, folks. It's just a meme. This is what I was talking about in the beginning of my last film, Transformation, when I discuss how the education system programs people into believing that authority is real and is used in order to perpetuate the meme down through generations. But really, the concept of control and the concept of authority and the concept of government is just an idea. It's a meme. It's not real. It only exists because it exists in the minds of the people, and the people think the authority is real. The people think the government is real. The people think that other people somehow have authority over them because they're trained to think that way. And of course, they're trained to think that way through the education system, which is simply an indoctrination system, folks. So it's important that people understand this. It's important that people see that there are actually two worlds. Reality has two sides to it. And we can affect what's going on in the real world by addressing the concept of the meme, by addressing the concept of what's going on in the fictional world, because it is the fictional world that controls the real world simply because people believe the fiction is real. And yet when we attempt to address the fiction, we do so within the parameters of the real world. We start sending paper around and petitions and all of this sort of stuff in the real world, but we never change our perspective of who and what we are and approach it from that perspective. And it isn't going to change until we change our mindset and change our perspective of what we are. That's how it works, folks, because once we change our perspective of who and what we are, we don't need to send paper to anybody. We don't need to create any petitions. We don't need to sign any forms. All we need to do is change things. And it would be very simple to do. But it can only come from that change in perspective. It can only happen once people reawaken to what reality is and rediscover the beauty of themselves and rediscover the power of themselves, rediscover the art of their own lives. That's the way we bring about change, folks. It's got to be an internal thing. That's why people always say that if you change the internal world, you can change the external world. And people have never really been able to figure out. But it's what happens when you change your perspective and you decide to apply that new perspective to the world at large that things change. Now, this year, I believe we are seeing a real turning point. I really think we're seeing a mass awakening. The amount of protests and the amount of countries that are now coming online, as it were, and seeing the system for what it is phenomenal. It really is. There's been so many people that have been aware of this. And as I said earlier, there's been so many people who have been attempting to present us with what they believe their solution may be, what a solution may be anyway. This is what Sasha Stone is attempting to do. It's what Peter Joseph is attempting to do. There's so many people who have created movements in the last few years that have attempted to at least get the people organized into something. And it's been good to see this, but I think what's happening now is that people are realizing that there is still a higher harmonic that people have been missing. And it's understandable that people would have been missing it, folks, because as I said, this has been a learning curve for everybody. I mean, even when you listen to my shows back in 2008 to what I've been talking about in the last 12 months, you can see a growth there. You can see the opinion on a lot of things has changed. The manner of approaching a lot of things has changed, especially the manner of approaching the legal issues. This has been a huge learning curve for everybody trying to find a way through this fictional legal quagmire. And it took a long time for people to realize that the key word in the whole thing was fiction. It's all fiction, folks. The whole lot of it is fiction. That's why we don't really have to navigate ourselves through the legal system. All we really have to do is rediscover ourselves, because once we do that, that is the only navigational aid that we need. And that's why everything about this system, the scholastic system, the business system, the social systems, everything is designed to disconnect us from ourselves. That's why it's so important that we keep running on the treadmill. It's why it's so important that we always judge ourselves by our external possessions and never really get the time to look within. And that's just the way this society has been constructed, and it's the programming that people receive every day from their television as well. The television is an insidious thing, folks. If you still own a television, throw it away, for God's sake. Get rid of the damn thing. It's a useless thing. It doesn't give you anything that you need. And if there's shows on there that you really want to watch, well, you can get them online anyway. So get the thing out of your house, get the programming away from you, and get away from the electromagnetic field that it creates as well. And that's another way we are controlled, folks, through electromagnetism. And this is a huge system of control, folks, and it's a system that goes largely unknown and unnoticed by people. But we are quite literally swimming in a sea of electromagnetic soup all the time. People are receiving electromagnetic signals through their mobile phones, through all of the equipment around them, and it's very difficult to get away from now because you've got so much wireless technology everywhere that it's sending out signals all through the ether wherever we go. And you're an electromagnetic being. Everything you do, everything you experience is electromagnetic. And I think that all of this electromagnetic soup has been set up for a reason as well. I think a lot of that is what keeps us confused, keeps us dumbed down, and also controls much of the moods you find people in. I firmly believe that a lot of the reason the police are so unapproachable and so sociopathic and are so angry all the time is probably due to the electronic equipment that they are wearing. I believe this equipment probably sends frequencies into these police officers, and I wouldn't be surprised if many of the police officers are also microchipped. That wouldn't surprise me at all. But I think electromagnetism is something that is very often ignored and very often not seen as a threat and very often not considered as much as it should be. And I think we should be considering these things, folks. I don't think it's good to have wireless technology around you. I really don't. I mean, I have a mobile phone, but I never actually hold it to my head. I've only really got it so that I can navigate around the place and so people can contact me. But I'm fortunate enough in that it doesn't work at home. It's only with me when I'm out. And I've only got that recently as well. I bought it about a year ago. That's the first time I've ever had a phone, simply so my son could contact me. But I don't like it. I just don't like the feeling of having it around. It's a bizarre thing. And just the fact that it is there sort of makes me uncomfortable. Perhaps I'm just paranoid, but I really don't like having these phones around. Incidentally, folks, the new Facebook app that you can get for your mobile phone, when you make a post on Facebook, if you're using your phone to make a post on Facebook, while you're making a post, it will also listen to your environment that you are in. They say this is a good thing. It's a fun thing because we'll be able to identify what TV shows people are watching and stuff. But really, folks, it's because it wants to listen in on your conversation. It's listening to what is going on around you, and it's sending all of those details to those people who want to listen to such things. So I would advise everybody who has a Facebook app on their phone to delete it immediately, or at least go into your settings and make sure it cannot listen to your surroundings while you are posting, because the potential for abuse of this app is absolutely incredible. I think you just should get all these apps off your phone anyway, folks. Don't do things like this through your mobile phone, because you're being tracked, you're being catalogued, you're being numbered, you're being organised into a little data file somewhere. There's another new thing that's happening with Apple iPhones as well. I believe Apple are making a new software upgrade which will allow police to be able to shut down phones within any particular area they want to. This, of course, is to prevent people filming police brutality. So I would suggest that you shouldn't use an iPhone either. iPhones are actually the worst phones you can use, folks. They track everything you do. They send very dangerous signals to your brain, and you just shouldn't go near iPhones at all. Now, I know that's going to be very difficult for people to deal with because there are many people who are addicted to their iPhones, but I think you just should throw the damn thing away, folks, and get something a little simpler. All you really need a phone for is so people can call you in an emergency. You don't need a phone to be able to access your online data. I mean, it is handy for map reading occasionally, but I think people are becoming far too dependent on their mobile phones, and I think all of these apps and all of the things that they're adding to mobile phones now are being designed to make sure people get more and more addicted to their mobile phones, because then they are able to integrate everything into your mobile phone, and then they are able to know exactly what you are doing, what you are saying, who you are seeing, and what your life is about every minute of every day. And that's the plan, folks. And not only is it their plan, but the people are just going along with it. People are just doing it. They think it's great to have all this stuff in one place on this little mobile phone that they can carry around, and they don't realize how dangerous they are making things for themselves. And they don't realize how dangerous the situation is as well in as far as the preservation of knowledge, because everything is becoming digitized. And so all they have to do is turn the power off, and suddenly we lose all of our information. They're even talking about kids at school now. They're debating whether to teach kids how to write, because they're saying we don't need to write anymore. We can use typewriters. But what about when there's no power? What about if you're out in the country and you wish to convey some information to somebody and you don't have a computer or a typewriter? This is ridiculous, folks. I mean, how could we have an education system which is degraded so far from anything that even vaguely resembles education that they could even be considering not teaching children to write? It's just unbelievable, folks. It's unbelievable. But that's what the nanny state is all about, after all. And when you consider that sort of stuff, folks, I mean, really, it just goes from the sublime to the ridiculous. But again, it puts it in people's face. I mean, if there was any mothers out there with children going to school, if they actually thought the educational system was functional in any way, then I would suggest the observation that once their children have left high school, they're still not able to write, may serve as a good indication to these people that perhaps things have gone somewhat awry. But let's hope that this never comes to pass anyway. I mean, it was suggested by somebody. I don't know if anybody approved the absurd notion, but just the fact that somebody would even suggest this, folks. I mean, my God, these are actually people that are in power. These are people who are in positions where they can control our lives, and this is the sort of stuff they suggest. So that itself should serve as a pretty good indication to people that things are already somewhat awry. It's just amazing, folks. It really is. You couldn't make this stuff up. You really couldn't. Some of the things that these people are attempting to do, it boggles the mind. It really does. But look, as I've said so many times in the past, folks, what we've got here is an opportunity, and it's a great opportunity. Really, it's the best opportunity for freedom that we've ever had. And even things like what I just said about the education system, I mean, this is another piece of ammunition that you can use to fire at your asleep neighbors to help perhaps wake them up, because what sort of an idiot is going to actually approve of a school that refuses to teach their child to write because they think it's unnecessary? What sort of idiot is going to approve of an education system that would do that, or of a government that would allow an education system to do that? So these little nuggets are great little pieces of ammunition that you can use, folks. These are little bricks that we can throw through the windows of control, and we can point out all of this sort of stuff to the people around us, because really, when we say the government are stupid and we say the government are corrupt and we say the government are doing everything they can to discard and impoverish the people and rip off everything they can from this country, really, it's got to the stage where people can see that now we're just simply stating the obvious. And so more and more people are becoming awake to the fact. What we need to do now is start discussing what the solutions to this problem are. And as I've said for the last 6 years, folks, the solution is for you to remember who and what you are, rediscover yourself, and stand in that power. And if you can rediscover yourself to the point where you actually fully understand yourself and respect yourself, I believe you can respect the people around you. That's the key. That's the key. See, it's one thing to know yourself. It's one thing to know that you're not your name and go out there and march around being so proud that the government can't touch you. But if you don't respect the people around you and you're calling them stupid because they're not doing the same thing, then you're part of the problem. That's just the way it goes. And you can be free all you like. The world's still going to be destroyed around you because you're not respecting people enough to help them rediscover themselves. And the reason you not that way, folks, is because you haven't really yet discovered yourself. Because if you did, you wouldn't be disrespectful to others. That's the problem. That's why I get so frustrated with the people that attack me, folks. These people have not discovered themselves, because if they had, they wouldn't be attacking other people. It really is a sordid, emotional, and spiritually bankrupt web our society seems to have woven for itself, folks. It really is. We often spend so much time taking out our miseries on other people and pointing the finger at other people attacking people we've never met and shifting blame away from our own inadequacies, that things just never change. And we never really address the system from the correct manner. Because the system, being a fictional meme, being just an idea, we could really fix it in a day. I've said so many times, we could change the world in 3 seconds if everybody changed their perspective all at once. But if people simply respected each other, the whole mechanism breaks down. But it's divisionists. It's everybody wanting to climb to the top of the pile, everyone wanting to claim intellectual property as being their own, everyone wanting to claim this idea as being theirs or that idea as being theirs, and I'm the one who did this and I'm the one who did that, and I want the fame and I want the glory, and nobody is really respecting anybody else. And the reason they're not is because they don't respect themselves. They don't respect themselves to see that all of that stuff that they're chasing is all illusion. It's all just a cloud. Now, what's here is one collective species, and what the purpose of the species is to rediscover itself. And you're not going to get that by fighting and bickering. I'm so sick of the attacks from people online. There's this one little cretin here in Australia who's been spreading disinformation about me for 3 years, telling people I'm a government plant and all sorts of stuff. He's been carrying out acts of emotional and verbal violence against me for many, many years, and trolling threads and posting disinformation about me on other people's threads. I finally had enough the other day, so I'm going to go down and confront him very soon, and he can make his accusations to my face, and we'll see where that goes. But sometimes that's what we have to do, folks. We have to simply turn and face those things that are attacking us in our lives. We have to turn and face the problems that are undermining our lives. And we have to realize that anybody who's out to create division is part of the problem. Anybody who has bad things to say about other people all the time is part of the problem. I mean, sure, I insult the politicians and I insult the leaders of the planet because it keeps me sane. It's the only way I can manage to keep doing these radio shows and keep a smile on my face. But even with the stuff that these sociopathic cretins do, I don't hate them. I mean, I don't hate Tony Abbott. I don't hate this toxic little liar down in New South Wales who's been spreading disinformation about me. I simply don't hate anybody. I don't know how to hate. But I still know how to do what needs to be done when it needs to be done. That's why I speak out about the system so often, because it needs to be done. That's why I speak out about the actions of toxic people like Tony Abbott, because it needs to be done. And it's just a matter of doing things from a perspective of respect, folks. I mean, even if you've got to do something, if you've got to stand in your power and do something which may be uncomfortable to you, if you're doing it because you respect yourself, then that's a good thing as well. That's why I'm going and confronting this little liar down in New South Wales, because I have the respect for myself to do so. I respect myself. And I respect myself enough to stand up for myself. And that's what we need to do as a collective society, folks. We need to respect ourselves enough to stand up for ourselves and also to be able to stand up for the people around us. We need to do this. We all need to do this. We need to get this respect back, because once we've got that, then we have a strong, vibrant, and powerful community that can bring about any change we want to bring about. It's while we continue to disrespect others because we disrespect ourselves that we allow the world to continue down the path that it's going. Maybe that's why I haven't been out there fighting on the front line as much as perhaps I could have been, because perhaps I don't respect myself. Perhaps I've been allowing people's attacks against me to get to me, and I shouldn't do that. I should have more respect for myself, so I should confront my attackers and confront my accusers, and we should all do that with this system as well. We need to confront it. We need to take it on, folks, and we need to bring it down. But that's it for me. We are now completely out of time. That is the show gone in a flash today. Thank you to anybody who's ever made a contribution to the website. Thank you to anybody who has ever sent me a kind email. Thank you for the hundreds of emails I got as a response to my despondency on last week's show. I really, really appreciate your kind thoughts very much. I'm sorry I don't have time to respond to everybody. But we are now completely out of time. I have to go. I will look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care. Until then, in Lakesh.